That's an amazing start in the podcast. Welcome, everyone, to podcast number 22. Today, with Balz Müller, the Swiss waterman. He's a freestyle pioneer, and he lives freestyle. And today, we have a special episode because he, in one of his reels, he said that balance is key.
Yeah.
And we're going to do the whole podcast on balance boards.
And Alex are already shaking.
Yeah, I too. So let's get on. You still with your coffee, which is awesome. And I just need to get on. Oh, all right. Find the center. And I want to start with your Instagram, actually.
It's going to be so hard.
I imagine it's it's got to do something with radical, with maybe ridiculous as well. Can you tell us how you started with, or what was the idea behind Radiculo? Radiculo or Radiculo?
Radiculo. I think it's so the story is quite short. Culo is a very famous windsurf trick. And we prefer doing this trick in Spain on the beach. And the speaker of the competition is always, oh, look at this culo. And then everyone's super confused.
Because that means ass.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah. But so it's a very weird name. And I was always doing the culo very radical. So it's basically a radical culo. So they were always calling me Radiculo. And I think this name is now already like 12 or 15 years old. So I've been doing that trick for quite a long time. And the name just grew with my page, probably. And people are so confused. But Radiculous Culo, I'm not an asshole.
No.
The absolute opposite, I guess. I hope so. But it just sounded so weird and so different that I thought, wow, it's a name that catches attention and that confuses people.
Yeah.
And I think maybe only 2,000 or 3,000 people in the world know that culo is a windsurf trick. But definitely the whole rest on this planet knows very well what a culo is. So a radical culo.
How does this trick actually work? Can you maybe not show?
So the culo, it's one of these power moves in windsurfing where we actually duck the sail into the wind.
Ah.
So we put the sail around us, backwind, and then as we have the sail backwind, we get the pop out of the sail, and then we do a misty flip, so a cork rotation downwind. Nowadays, a lot of people doing it, and you can do it the burner, which is the normal stance, the switch stance version, and the culo is the normal stance version. So it's a very common trick, and I would say each rider does it in each heat nowadays in the competition. And when it came up like 15, 12 years ago, as I was one of the first doing this trick as well, it was a revolution. And the speaker at the beach, I think it was a joke when we gave the name Culo.
Ah,
but it happened in Fuerteventura on the beach. And then you see like the speaker always talking about the Culo. And
nice.
So that's the connection to this weird name.
Nice. Just one more question about this trick. I tried to put the sail in front of me. I never managed it.
Well, yeah, in windsurfing, maybe some of you tried it before. Many probably not, and it's a very frustrating and it's a super challenging sport. But getting into windsurfing, it takes you maybe one or two seasons just to handle the board. And you always got to ride goofy and regular back to the beach. And when you turn the gear, you face the problem that you will be backwinded at certain points if you're doing a tack or a heli tack. And yeah, the force of a windsurf sail is enormous.
Yeah, right. So
how would you actually do that?
I tried it, I went a little downwind because I hope that I have less pressure in the sail.
Indeed, yeah.
And then, but just going the other way around, it's so difficult for me.
The duck, that's the element of getting the sail into the wind on the other side.
So yeah,
ducking the sail.
Duck jibe and then just
almost like a duck side and then getting backwinded. But that kind of maneuver, so just before actually jumping the trick, is so challenging that it even broke my hand already. Especially as we're playing with the elements, strong wind, putting the sail into the wind, it's raw energy, which is
insane.
Often like pulling
what
you
else,
back off the
what
board.
Else did you break in your in your years of freestyling?
Well, I was very lucky until I got like 17 or 18 and I haven't broken any bones. I even thought at a certain point I'm undestroyable, and that started
made out of rubber.
Started, and I think probably since now I'm 31 and I guess I had every season a very stupid accident, and always touch wood. I haven't got serious injuries, but that one with the hand was actually quite bad because I broke two knuckles and I had like metacarpal bones splitted, and they had to place it in like back to position with 7 screws, and the hand is still fucked. I will never ever be a piano player again. But when I was on the surgery table, the guy told me, your hand is ruined. And that was all. I was telling him, all I need is to hook in into the boom and be able to like sail along. Oh, I thought you're doing the suck. But that one was really serious. And I'm left-handed, so I was kind of fine. It happened with the right hand. But it put me in a really shit situation, even just on the toilet, cleaning the ass, everything. And therefore, I realized you're right, even though you're like...
All right, TMI. Let me go into that earlier days, because it's super hard to find information about you in your youth. Is that A, on purpose? And if not, can you maybe tell us how you got?
I guess you haven't found the right pages.
Probably not.
Because there is a shitloads of content on some YouTube channels with quite some. I have two brothers, so maybe my history, or I'm from a very active, sporty family. I have two younger brothers, both of them really, really active, and also I would say talented water sports athletes. Especially Jack, he's probably the better windsurf foiler than me.
Oh, really?
And many people don't know, but they're not as competitive and challenging as me. Challenging, they're just eager to compete or eager to showcase what we're doing. But we used to do shit loads of stupid stuff. Our dad, he built us when I was 8, 9 years old, a skate ramp in our old house. So I grew up with a skate park back home. And
is it like a farm?
It's a farmer's woodworker's building. My dad, he used to be a timber jack cutting trees. So we got the chance to get this old house with a huge shed. And this shed became a skate park. And many, many people were actually often passing by Wednesday afternoon skating at my place. It got to the point where we were skating even Sunday morning, and all the neighbors got so annoyed. But we were like, we lived a bit off the city. So we were very active windsurfing since I can remember. My dad used to be a sailor. He used to windsurf 50 years ago. He was one of the first windsurfers here on the lake in Switzerland.
These old
windsurf sails.
Nice.
So when he was 13, he got his first windsurf board. And so he shared, also the mother, we all shared the passion for the sea, for the ocean, for water sports in general. And we literally went 5 times or 6 times a year to the sea. We never went far. We always traveled kind of budget on a... my parents were literally always on zero, I guess, by the end of the month. But we had more value for... our values were being at the sea, being active, doing sports, going skiing, going snowboarding a lot later, and then windsurfing. Windsurfing day in, day out. Kitesurfing came around. And my dad had really bad experience kitesurfing here on the lake in 2000. So he was also a really early adapter of kitesurfing on the lake. And he got his kite in the tree. He went into the harbor wall, like shit, lots of stuff. And there was the situation. We all wanted to kite. Appealing, being hooked to a kite. And then the dad, he literally said, no, you guys not kite surfing. Okay. Until it's in your own responsibility on the lake here.
Okay.
So basically, we were forced to only kite in the holidays.
Yeah.
And so we were very limited. The options to go kiting were limited, but we still did it a lot. So, and I can also imagine being a dad having 3 kids which go like on the lake. And we all started looping, like doing front loops with around 12.
Wow.
The youngest brother with 9 years old. So he was a really young.
9 years old.
Yeah, he was a young shredder. And I was like, we all expected that my youngest brother, he would become probably the best of us three in windsurfing. He is, but he's very crazy, and he's not able to focus his energy into competition or into but anyway, I'm really honored growing up like this. And back to your story, So there's shitloads of content on YouTube. There used to be a website called Soul Rider in Switzerland, and I was actively posting every day. Because basically since ever, I was spending every windy day on the lake, 300 days a year on the water, doing what I love, being active, playing with the nature, being out there.
That leads me to the next question, because eventually you decided that this is going to be your job as well. You're a pro water man, right?
I guess so. I'm the pro balance sport.
Or do you have a regular job next to your water sport?
Well, nowadays I'm living from and for water sports. So I'm a water sport ambassador since four seasons now. And before, ahead of that, I did an apprenticeship as a landscaper. So I'm a gardener doing beautiful. I love this because for me, working with the shovel out there, it's like a free solarium in the summer and it's a free fitness gym. So basically I was shoveling, digging holes like from day in, day out. And I was having such a great time. And I love being active. I have to be active. As you know, I cannot stand still. But so that's my profession. But yeah, I prefer going out there windsurfing and being able to inspire and motivate other people. That's my biggest passion.
But I imagine that it must have been super difficult and like making that choice that stop gardening, or maybe you can find a job easily, I don't know, but then say, no, I'm going to go 100%. I'm going to go all in and just do that.
What I love.
Live from it. Because now you have a wife, you have kids, you have rent to pay, you have taxes to make.
And the risk management.
Yeah.
Well, we have to say it would not happen without foiling, especially wing foiling. So I'm foiling now since 8 years, probably already 9 years windsurf foiling. So I was an early adapter of windsurf foiling. And then I saw this natural evolution. Yeah, it starts to get shaky. I saw, but I have to put the coffee.
Just hand me mine.
Yes. I saw this. I was firsthand part of this evolution of wing foiling. And I have to be honest, and I have to tell you guys that without the support of Ensis, this Swiss water sports brand, and our we were early adapter of wingers, and our score, the wing, which where I signed the kind of deal of getting royalties per piece, and we sold loads of wings in the first season. That was 2020. We started with Ensis, and this project it overwhelmed me. I still thought in the summertime. For the last 8 years, I used to work just in the summer months, you know, and going. Just a few months working, and then I was kind of able to finance my winter project. So that was my goal.
So you still work as a landscaper, as a gardener?
Nowadays not anymore. But I used to be still working and earning money in the summer months, and now, literally, there's no time anymore. I'm spending every day on the water. Every day there's a new toy to test and develop, and it just didn't stop, because right after winging, comp foiling came along. Now we're into para winging. So basically every year there was a new water sport involved.
But then you just talked about Ensis. Now I consider you as a pro rider, because you're doing competitions, you're doing very well in competition, but it's also, you have to have sponsors that pay you. Yes, you said that you get some money when people buy wings and whatnot. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But how did that start? When was the first time? Was that Ensis, the first brand who said, I'm gonna sponsor you? Or who was your first sponsor, and how did that change the whole thing?
Well, I'm still having a weird relation to sponsors, because talking about sponsors, we have the I would say the partners which produce the gear partners. And I kind of prefer not getting the money out of the water sport industry, because basically I'm having a hard time asking money from my friends.
Yeah.
But that's obviously what happens if you get royalties on sold products. But no, I was already ahead of it. I was trying to get some. I'm an ambassador of Silva Plana, the beautiful Swiss region in the mountains. They have
B-roll.
Yeah. No, but Silva Plana has it all. We got the winter sport, we got the summer sport. So already ahead of ENCIS, I got the support from this region, and I'm very thankful.
You, or did you ask them?
It came along naturally because we used to have the first windsurfing foiling World Cups up there, and I was taking part, and the organizers of the event, Christian Müller, he asked me if I'm keen to support this project, and so we kind of came together naturally.
Episode 1 link
somewhere up here.
Yeah.
And it's a mind-blowing project, and ever since I'm really thankful for the mayor of this region, who's also very actively into sport, into water sport, and that's definitely what's needed to create this organic growing water sport scene. And the community is growing. It's crazy.
So then you got the, like, this sponsorship deal, and you got some money out of it, but you still weren't 100% in, because it wasn't enough probably to live.
Indeed. I would still say it's just covering the costs and keeping you above water. If anybody out there thinks from water sports you can become rich, I would say, yeah, maybe Kyle Laney succeeded, but even this guy probably has a lot of stress, not financial stress, but it's not easy living from water sport, but it recommends it needs a lot of passion. And for me, by the end of the day, if I go to bed and if I would never ever wake up again, all I wanted to do is being out there in the nature and playing with gravity, playing with the elements. And that's what really matters in the end, you know? And that's what I try to succeed. At the end of the day, I want to be happy. And sharing this with my beautiful wife and the two lovely kids, I mean, that's a dream. And Eva also, actually, she's an active athlete as well. She, in the very beginning, we both were actually pioneering wing foiling to the max. She was also one of the first adapter of freestyle wing foiling. Many people don't know it, but therefore we share the passion, and the passion is what drives us to take this risky life. I don't know where I'm standing in life. In 3 years, I don't know. I mean, this guy here, he has a very simple and easy life. He can work until the very end of his life.
I wouldn't
getting bored and annoyed by kids.
Yeah,
exactly.
But you know,
but that's, I mean, it's a good problem.
Yeah.
It is. Each job has its challenge.
Yeah.
And obviously, I have not sleepless nights, but I constantly worry about what's going to happen in 2 years, what's going to happen in 5 years. But then in the end, I just got to live in the very moment. Freaking YOLO sounds bad or weird, but it's what we always have to face every day.
It is what it is. We can die tomorrow if something.
Indeed,
happens,
right? That's what I always tell, and therefore, go out there and have fun.
All right, that's
fun. Things first.
Still, you still need to organize stuff. I don't know how many sponsors or deals you have, but it needs to be organized. How often are you at the office or at your desk, and you go through like, all right, who am I actually partnering with? What do I have to do for them? Maybe another video, or
this is stressful as hell.
But I have
do that
to...
yourself, or does Eva help you, or someone else helps you? I definitely need support, but I'm not having this professional support, and I have to tell that I'm probably one of the less professional athletes out there, because I'm definitely a freestyler. And I don't really feel like I wanna be a serious athlete, because just what I said before, I'm calling myself a fun boarder, and the essence of fun is doing something as it fulfills you with pleasure and good emotions. And working in the office, the desk part of my water sport, I could quit it straight away. And therefore, I'm also not having my own brand, because I have to tell, I don't want to bother with warranties and sales and all this stuff. I try to get a far distance of this. At the same time, I'm really honored having great people surrounding me, and I'm able to live the life I'm living.
Yeah, because the office part is like the opposite of the freestyle.
Indeed, and it's definitely these days the more important part. than being out there and having fun. And I'm having this logbook, so I'm every session I note down. And as my wife always complains, I'm working too much. I started noting down the hours and minutes where I'm actually on the water. And in Switzerland, I can get on the water nowadays every day. With all we're spoiled by options. I mean, we can literally do water sport every day. The case is I'm often only maybe 1 or 2 hours a day on the water. But I wake up in the morning thinking about this new parawing, this new foil. I go to bed thinking about this new foil. So that's literally, I'm even dreaming about water sport every day. Like there's literally, that's also, I would say that's my secret for success is definitely being able to dream but we can get into it later. But the case is that it takes it all. It's my life is water sport and it's all. And it's also the reason why I keep doing it is I love it. It's simply passion. That is. And my goal will never ever be driving off the beach in a Ferrari. My goal is simply just to spend as much time out there on the water and create the best possible gear. And I keep investing into new equipment as well. So that's not only time, but all the money is into water sport. So for water sport.
You said you have 300 days on the water.
Little more, yeah. But like consistently, just last year, and that's a very, if I can give any advice, note down your sessions. Just short, but like note down emotions, gear, anything new, what you've learned out of it. And obviously you get an overview of what you're doing. And especially for developing, that's so important.
Are you going to share this logbook that you're keeping?
Yes. If anybody wants to see it, they can always come, but it's not digital. And that's a good point because I spend the worst thing about being a water sport athlete these days is not being on the water, just what you mentioned, but is trying to make a living out of it. And therefore, you have to spend so much time on the socials, on behind your desktop, just working your ass off trying to create a living. And I guess what's way more important is being out there and being creative. And that's what really matters to me. I don't want to be an influencer like you two guys. You're doing awesome. but
you kind of have to be anyway.
You have to be these days and you have to be your own content creator, your own promoter, your own, athlete anyway. But you have to be all in one. And back in the days, it used to be, I guess, easier for younger athletes to grow and become better because they had less to focus on. And I think that's a really hard one these days.
Yeah. So what
and
would
I'm
you
not
do
doing it professional.
To...
So,
yeah. What would you do if you were to start again? Let's say one of your followers, for example, wants to make the life that you're living. So make a living off of water sports. What would you do?
Jump in
your mistakes.
considering myself, the first thing, if it comes to deals, and that's very important. If it comes to deals, I'm not the guy who's reading all the little letters. But if you're not doing it like me, just share it to someone else. Because I would not say I'm forced to any deal at the moment, but I definitely not did or took the best decisions. And obviously, I was just like always signing last minute and just go with the flow. But if you have someone in your surrounding who's an expert in it, just give him the deal and ask for advice. Anyway, don't have too much of an ego and guess you can do this all alone. So it's always better to get support and be open-minded. That's the most important thing. And think outside the box. And thinking outside the box, it sounds simple, but all we as athletes have to do is be creative and do something different. And that's what really matters.
We're going to go into that freestyle thing because I think that's also part of freestyle. How are your legs doing, by the way?
They shake, I guess. You must
be shaking. Mine as well. Plus, I'm always moving to the back of the floor. So once I touch the back here, maybe a centimeter left, I'm going to move back front. But I'll keep them going. Let's talk about your life as an athlete, and I heard from other pro athletes or even yoga teachers that their body is their temple, because if you don't have your body, if you don't have your health, then you cannot do what you do for a living.
Well, so, just this morning we talked about, I'm so tired. I was in bed and our daughters, they get up so early. So it's impossible to get up.
Sleep
is very important this morning.
Yeah.
And well, Zora, she's up way ahead of six. So, and I guess the secret of success is good sleep, long sleep. 9 hours would be epic if you're managing. But yesterday evening I was working until almost 11, and this morning I got up and the work is still in my head, you know. So, and it's not really work, because when you love something as much as I do, it's passion. But one advice, don't scroll through your gram forever, because this is just wasted time. At the same time,
it is important.
It's important as well to get inspiration. And what I'm doing, and that's a really good advice, always screen film stuff I see and I like, and I watch it through back and back in slow motion, and I keep analyzing it until I can literally close my eyes and feel the same movement.
We're going to go into that later on, the tricks. But your health, you said sleep is super important. Balance is key, obviously.
Balance is key, and I'm happy to. And also getting these different disciplines fusing together, and skateboarding, snowboarding, surfing, it all links together into funboarding.
It
helped.
Okay.
And I'm not the guy who goes to the gym unless I have an injury and I really have to like build up something new. But I try to keep this healthy base of doing what I love and doing it actively. And therefore, I think my body is just well suited for these movements I'm doing and I love to do. So go out there, pump for your ass off. Get your pump going every day, in, out.
Good. Let's talk pumping real quick, because he said he had some back issues while pumping. I actually had that too during summer when I pump for quite a bit. So I would have, yes, picking it up, I had this super heavy stuff. Now it's a little lighter, which is better. But I have to learn to switch, start and right switch as well. So it's more balanced again. But it sucks so much because I have to begin at the start. I have to begin as an amateur again.
Best thing. It sucks, but to me, learning something new, that's the essence of freestyle windsurfing or of anything. Because there's nothing beats the learning process.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
But learning process as well can be really frustrating, especially pump foiling. We all know it takes more than just step on the board and off you go. It takes forever getting into freestyling.
Yeah.
So obviously, the learning process is the best and the most rewarding thing ever if you succeed. But the best and the most important is that you're actually, first of all, feeling healthy so that you kind of can focus on learning, but then also having the right advices. And I think therefore you guys or anybody out there really should who's supporting the community and who's helping out is so important. And I think the pump foiling scene is one of the greatest communities I know. Compared to other communities, there's less of rivality because we help each other and it should stay like this.
Is the races that we just had, could that like be
separated?
Okay.
For sure, if I'm on the start line with someone, I will not give him any advices anymore.
Yeah.
We all want to win. But I guess you win more if you create a good companionship and a good friendship. So in the end, that's what really matters, is doing it together and for the community.
I totally agree. So we already went into that a little bit. The freestyle, the injuries, you taking care of your body.
This is part of the game, that's for sure.
So you talked about your hand. What else do you have?
Well, the worst injury, I start feeling it now. I got the stabilizer through my calf. Which is a 7 cm deep cut. It went in here and it went through.
Out?
No. Yeah, I did a backflip wing foiling. I lost the straps. A very important point. Make sure that your straps are tight trying backflips. It was a photo shoot thing and I swapped with Eva the board. So I quickly adapted the straps and the straps were not in the right position. So I was kind of loose in the straps.
Okay.
And I lost the board. I pulled it in my leg and it went through. The stabilizer went through my leg. And cut the soleus muscle. I was really, really lucky I didn't cut the Achilles.
Yeah.
But that cut is really, really bad. It went in here and literally through. But I was very lucky getting a good surgery at Clinic Gut in Silva in St. Moritz.
Yeah.
And these guys are experts, but they told me that that's a very rare injury, what they saw. Because not most guys go with a kitchen knife and stab through their leg.
It is a stab.
Yeah, yeah. It is a stab.
It's a stab.
Yeah, now we know why. That's why I want to get rid of the stab, you know, and just put credit cards on
it. That's a spoiler.
No. So, yeah. No, who knows. But anyway, the injuries is always bad. But what I've learned out of it, I literally didn't learn anything out of it. I just kept jumping. But I have rounder foils now. I'm not sanding my foils to the max anymore, but even a round edge can cut yourself. But I was in the hospital when I woke up after the surgery. First thing I did, I bought this Decathlon soft rail plastic foil, and I got it out on the water 3 months after when I was able to walk again, and it felt like sleeves on the foil. But I saw it didn't work, but I saw the potential, and I was like, damn it. Me as well, as brands, we have to focus more on creating the gear for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of focusing just on performance, we got to focus on safe products for everyone.
Yeah.
And in pump foiling, that's a very important point. Nowadays, with these high aspect foils, gnarly, scary high aspect foils, I think that's not the way to go. We got to create safe and easy gear,
because it can be made 1 or 2 kilometers an hour, so it's
a huge difference, but not for someone who's learning pump foiling and who does the first attempt, and someone who wants to learn a Carving 360 doesn't need the 25 kilometer per hour. He can live with 18, 19 kilometer per hour. So that's the case. And for me, pump foiling is not about the speed.
Yeah.
It's definitely cool going fast, but it's about having fun floating over
and
in the air.
Compared to winging or kite foiling, you're not fast anyways.
And any pump foiling is not about speed at the moment for me. Even racing, just the past weekend, I was not the fast guy on the race course. I was the guy loving the elements, technical elements. And that's where it should even go further. Like, and as well, we had some collision.
Yeah.
And at this point, I was thinking, damn it. First of all, we're destroying really expensive equipment. And then, we were just lucky that no one got harmed.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That's true. But you always wear an helmet. Can you touch on that?
Since ever, I wear a helmet. And the story is, back in the days when we started looping windsurfing, my dad was telling us, you guys are not allowed to go on the water without the helmet until we're 18 as well. In his responsibility, we were not allowed to ride without helmet. And I got so comfortable riding a helmet that I feel naked without. And once I'm out there without helmet, I always hit my head stupid. Like even just water starting, getting up on, I hit my head. And I feel naked without helmet. So
that's the first time.
Safety first.
I'm going to thank you again later on. But I want to thank you. You gave me one of your helmets. And it's really super cool. It's really that light helmet, because I had this Mystique one, too heavy, wobbly, and yours is really comfortable. Really covers terrible. Ears as well, which is super nice. So thank you very much for that.
Enzis. Yes. But it took a while to get the perfect light helmet, smooth to wear, because I don't want to be bothered like having my temples here like pushed in. It challenges your balance, and you got to feel comfortable.
Yeah, let's talk about you being involved with Enzis, with brands in general.
Mm-hmm.
Your ambassador for Enzis, probably.
Yes, yeah, Subfoil, which a lot of you guys probably know. Subfoil is a big player in the foil industry. We had very, very big success kite foiling and wing foiling in the very beginning. Obviously, now these days we're hinking after, but still the guys are very passionate. But
and you never know what will happen, right? But the question is, how are you involved? Are you involved in drawing them as well? Or you write them, give feedback? Are you
very much involved with these guys?
How are you involved?
Well, so first of all, I'm the guy who gives the wish list. And I'm the guy who really has the passion with these guys. I have the feeling they're lacking a bit of passion for the product. And so I keep pushing them since forever. I keep pushing them. And obviously, I'm very lucky that they made me pro models already since 5 years.
Yeah.
But having my name on these pro models sometimes also stresses me out, because I know that I know how good foils can be and how quick they evolve. And it's really hard having a name on a product and then seeing friends not being frustrated with it, but like knowing that they could do better. And that therefore, like being in my position as an athlete and creator, these days, every 3 months, gear could completely look different. Let's just take a quick break for a sponsor. Board is on, yeah?
Good.
My goal is being independent and having enough money to live for the water sports industry. But I think this is going to be... What are you doing? You're putting the table up and down and you're going to... You're working out, huh? What are you going to do?
I'm going to just do what you're doing with a board. I found this ball and I'm going to put my... I'm jealous.
All right, good. Then so are you going to continue?
Go ahead.
No.
Yeah, you can. All right, we're back from our break, sponsor break. If you're interested in sponsoring us, hit up Kyle or me on our Instagram. You can also, if you're just an enthusiast and you like our show, you can help us out on Patreon. Link is in the description. But we're back and Kyle was jealous of us moving and he was just sitting. So he puts one of his boards on a little ball and tries to, improve his balance as well. Balance is key. Balance is key. And we're on these Indiana.
We just talked about gear and developing gear. Together with Indiana Skateboards, I'm able to, I've done my own pro skate model. It sounds weird because I'm an amateur skateboarder, but I have a really cool surf skate. So if you guys are keen, check this out. And obviously the balance boards are really cool from Indiana.
Yes,
I'm having a great time with it.
Me too.
This is key.
Yes. So afterwards, we're going to pump foil. And we also maybe go with these surf skates.
We go with the surf skates. Fun.
So if you're listening to this show, if you watch on YouTube, you can actually see Balz and me going on with these surf skates. So we're going to film that a little bit. But let's continue. We were on the foil design, on your status or your job as an ambassador, giving feedback. You said you can tell subfoil what you like.
Indeed. That's the dream. I always thought that's the dream, creating my dream gear, until I realized, freaking hell, gear development is so hard. And every 3 months, obviously, the playground is not changing, the playground being the same forever, but the evolution's going on so quick and you're always behind unless you do something totally different.
Yeah. But then it might not work.
Then it might not work, and we've done quite a few such projects in the last months, and that's crazy. Like, it's, you know, the risk management of these guys is much bigger than me. I personally don't have to, I'm not taking any risks, you know. I'm just the guy who has these crazy ideas and this dream. And these guys, they have to sell this stuff. And there comes the other point. Selling something is really hard. You can force people with a lot of marketing to sell something. But in the end, what really sells is good gear. And good gear, no one has to tell anything about it. People know what's good, you know. And that's like, in the long term, it's, you rather just spend your energy developing something good. And I'm the kind of guy, I'm not allowed to use different gear, but I write every single foil I get in my hands. I write it, I feel it, I test it, I take notes of it. So I think there's simply not an existing foil I haven't tried. And that's a very frustrating process, realizing how good your friend's gear is. And I know that other brands have crazy resources. And we're living in a very, very interesting time, because I guess we haven't reached the max of potential of foils and equipment. And nowadays, maybe with support of artificial intelligence, or anyway, with the support of people which are actually from different kind of industries, Sail GP or Formula One. So there's people now getting involved which do more than just test by feel. I'm the kind of guy who tests by feeling. More than simulating. But imagine now you have this database, which is enormous, these simulations and all this stuff and the feeling, and you combine this. And just lately we saw some insane stuff getting out on the market. at the moment, I'm kind of hinking after with my gear, but I'm having shitloads of fun with my gear. So I'm happy with all my partners. It's just that I know that the progression and the revolution is never going to end. And it goes so quick.
How do you transform the feelings that you experience with specific gear to the brands that you're working with? Like, do you tell, I tried this and it was like this because
long,
of this?
On... long monologue of WhatsApp text and clips. And I'm calling it a monologue because my partners, they will never, ever have the time to go through all this stuff. But I'm the kind of guy, each clip, each picture I see, I screenshot and I send it to my partners. And, you know, I might need to note as well, I'm having a windsurf pro model sale. I'm having a wingsurfing pro model, a foil. So I do have different kind of projects. And what's really crazy is in the end, they all have the same demand. And the demand of good gear is just someone who's out there every day, using it every day and being passionate about it. And I do have to tell you guys that it's really challenging finding someone who's keen producing the stuff and also uses it a lot. And the smaller brands, they don't have the resources for this demanding process. And the bigger brands, they're missing the passion. So the balance between creating good stuff and having the demand for good stuff will always be not equal. Plus, the things that you write is absolutely different to what you need.
Yes, and I would write like an amateur.
Indeed. So my wish list, that's it, back to the wish list. My wish list is enormous and changes every 2 weeks. And the wish list of the big producers or the brands is definitely something else. I think most of the people don't want to sell just big numbers, but they want to have easy access to water sports. That's the main goal. Getting new people into water sport, sharing a passion for water sport the easiest possible way. And there's always like the pinnacle of the sport, like us, who wants the fastest, the best to jump or whatever, the lightest gear, is quite a big difference. And there's this triangle, designer wish, rider's wish, and client's wish.
Consumers, yeah.
Consumers. And this triangle is always offset. I mean, but I'm talking way too much stuff, I guess.
It's awesome. I just want to get into your job as an ambassador. You have to, you obviously, with your enthusiasm, you're showing the passion, but you also are kind of a person, an advertiser.
Indeed.
And you do this fun videos as well. And
authentic at front.
Yes, super authentic.
I try to do authentic, and there's the really challenging part is how authentic I can be sharing my thoughts, because all my gear I like, but I know how challenging it is to sell gear, and I'm not a squeezed lemon, but it's not easy.
Yes,
part of the job. I would like to be an independent foil rider who just loves to share, who pays me, and in the end, I prefer growing with my partners and creating something good. And even if that means that we're like maybe 2 years behind or whatever, I rather like this. And it's easy to always buy the best foil. If you got the money, you can just do it. But I prefer, and that's also a very important point, if you use gear, you feel, and you feel comfortable with it, just don't bother if someone else has something better, because it's so independent. It's so individual. Each rider has a different demand and you can adapt to everything. And I prefer having maybe not the best gear, but the gear that matches me perfect and I feel comfortable.
Yeah.
And that's where I really progress. I don't progress on maybe the best and fastest foil, but I progress on the foil that feels best to me. And that's so
interesting. Exactly. Because the more often than not, we're just always looking for the highest performance foil.
If you always look for the better stuff,
there's always
better stuff.
Yeah, but exactly.
When I first saw one of your videos, it was actually, that's my second time, I want to thank you, because of you and of Michi, I started wingfoiling. I used to be a windsurfer, then I did some kitesurfing, and then I saw some wingfoilers, and I thought, well, that looks stupid, I'm never going to do that, like this Decathlon Fisher Price surfing in Donida. And then I saw you guys on Lake Neuchâtel downwinding.
Yeah.
And it looked so cool. And I thought, all right,
I have
it
to do
looks sick.
Surfing on the lake.
Yes, I want to do that too. And then I started. So that was my first video I saw of you. And then the next one was probably the promotional video you did for Reacha for this trailer behind the bike. And it kept showing all the time. It kept showing. And like, I scrolled through any of my social, and it was just always you riding that trailer. Do you have sometimes some deals where you feel like I'm not comfortable with that or not comfortable anymore? And then you want to get out but cannot.
Reacha is a good point. Reacha got bought by Thule just this year.
Okay.
And that's ridiculous. It's ridiculous because Reacha, these guys, they made a passion product. They grew and Thule realized, oh, damn it, we need something like this as well. The big players catch it. But Reacha, for me, I use this trailer every day. So I'm living close by to my home spot and I literally put my surfboards on it every day. And there's, for me, like the Reacha moment is when I'm about to hit the water. So I have a really good connection to this toy. But the case is with Reacha as well. I got forced to create a marketing clip or like a promotion. And then they were like, yeah, could you do this and that? And I was like, damn it. I'm not having the money to get me a filmer or whatever.
Yeah.
So I made it really low key with my Insta 360.
But again, it's authentic.
It's authentic. And the guys actually were really happy with the end product. And I was like, damn it, I should have done it more professional. But I guess the time is changing so much these days, and authentic, that's the key word.
But then I saw a video of you like standing on your bike or trying to stand on your bike.
Yeah, that was my wish. I wanted to actually ride with the wing. So that's as well. I stressed out that I was like, oh, I need to create something unique and special. So I had this idea, me riding with my wing on the bike.
Standing on the saddle,
standing on the steering,
yeah.
Standing and rolling to the beach. And I thought, easy, I can do this. And it did not work out at all. And I opened my whole elbow. And I remember I got so angry when this happened. And that was kind of when I started this project of doing this advertisement, that was the first ignition goal, like doing this. And then I failed. And then for 2 months, I just said, damn it, I'm not going to do this. And you got to be careful that you don't want too much, yeah. I guess.
Let's go from this little accident. So yeah, you bruised yourself, but it was not like stabbing your palm. Into freestyling real quick. And of course you talked about freestyling to so many other podcasts, so I'm gonna try to keep it a little bit short, but I see the problem, or I can imagine it being a problem. You have to try something new. You said you visualize and whatnot, but trying something like that is also always dangerous. How do you keep pushing? How are you not scared of hurting yourself? Because you hurt yourself.
I do hurt myself a lot, but that's kind of in freestyle. The good thing is comparing us water sports athletes to snowboarders or whatever, if you land on land, it hurts. And in water sport, you literally can fall 1,000 times and it's just your nose, which is full or whatever, you know, like kind of a low risk. But the case is, and that's a very important point to share, I've been knocked out in water and your surviving chances are quite limited. So if you're training all alone, I do often train all alone, but just take in consideration that you're playing in a dangerous element.
Yeah.
And when I was knocked out, my friends, back then, they got me within 30 seconds on my board and I was still passed out. And they got me on my board and I don't remember anything because I got the mast of my sail, even with the helmet on my temple. Yeah. I don't even know, but it knocked me out instantly. And so it's dangerous. But at the same time, if you have friends which are pushing you, the good community, this spirit of freestyle will never die and we all want to progress. And freestyling for me now, just going into pump foiling, because windsurfing, and that's my life. I love doing new tricks, but in pump foiling it's so cool because you can literally eat, run, you can progress. the cases, it's quite energy exhausting, demanding, because you always fall in the water. But having a good community, a good spirit, and motivation is key,
yeah.
I would say. So maybe today, what's your goal for today's pump for session?
You know what? I want to do a little tighter carbs. Like then we
could have the buoy, you know, and go tight around.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
The case is you want to just carve and fall in the water.
That's the thing. I mean, everyone.
My goal is 720 for this year. Like, I want to do two carves and keep riding.
No, I just want to like do a tight 180 and then continue, because everyone can carve and fall, and it looks great on photo, but.
No, well, but keep going. That's the case. And that's what I mean. Like, you got to set yourself goals and maybe a cool. Some people, they like training all alone when no one's watching. Definitely it helps putting your phone and then watching through the clips and learning out of the mistakes. But much better is if you're going together, hype yourself and like challenge yourself.
Yeah.
And even just like, that's one very important note I keep telling. Try to be complete. As a regular rider, I'm definitely pumping maybe 90% regular, 10% goofy. Try to become equal, 50-50. So even if, especially when no one's around you, just always go goofy or go regular. If you're just the opposite side, your dark side, your less trained side. And that's a very important point. Like, try to be not as asymmetric as possible, going back to your back problems. Trying to be equal 50-50 is definitely cool and important. All right, then let's just 100%. Go to the last topic for me. How did your life as a waterman or a pro athlete change when kids got involved? It still keeps changing, but I would say the best thing about having kids is I'm feeling younger than ever.
Okay.
I feel like I'm growing up again with them. I see myself growing up again. The case is I would not say I risk less nowadays,
yeah,
but I definitely got this this reason to stay alive, you know. Well, like, I just wanna see them growing up. So now if it comes to for example at the buoy, attacking the buoy, I'm kinda not having the handbrake on, but I would say I double think what I'm doing. And hyper focus, that's anyway my keyword. What I'm doing, all I'm doing is being enjoying the flow stage of being in hyper focus. Even right now, there's no room for any bad thoughts or stupid thoughts. I have to be here in the moment present. The same with kids. And that's what I like a lot. And that's what parenting is teaching us a lot, is you got to be present. Go off your phone, because you don't want to be with your phone all the time, but being present in the moment, enjoying the moment, that's really what matters.
You can still travel a lot. Your older daughter, is she in kindergarten yet?
Not yet. So my life going to change mid-26. I don't know what I'm going to do. Probably I go back to school. But learn something new. You got to keep stay open-minded for whatever comes. But definitely these are thoughts I'm having. Right now, my wife, she's a sport teacher, but she kind of has a lot of freedom to do to join us so we can travel together. Last year, we spent, I think, almost 6 months on the road.
That's so cool.
And that's crazy. And we obviously feel very honored and take this chance right now. I don't wanna look too much into the future. I want to live in the moment right now. And I see my younger daughter, Lotta, playing with the parawing, the youngest one growing up. Last year was quite a hectic situation with the birth of our second child, Sora. She had to come, she came 4 weeks or 5 weeks too early,
okay,
to a really weird situation, a really weird case. She kind of got a blood flow going from Eva, my wife, to her. And they had to take her like immediately.
Okay.
And the situation was this bad that we didn't know if she's going to survive.
Oh, terrible.
So this moment kind of showed me life is so unique and it passes. And that therefore just go out there and enjoy every moment. And I see sun out there now and I'm super excited to go pumping with you.
We don't want to go too long anymore. Girl, do you have anything else you want to add about?
as pilots.
Actually, the question that you just asked was my last question, so yeah. I'm going to go out for a session as well, and my legs are quite tired, despite the fact that I was on the board half the time as you guys were, but I think this was a great shot, and unless Buzz has something else to add, we can wrap it.
Yeah. Well, if I can share anything with you guys, just do what you love, and be kind to your friend, be honest to yourself, be honest to your friends, and have fun. Fun things first.
All right. Next episode is going to be with Richard Barton. He's a technical editor from the Foiling magazine.
Ooh, cool.
Have you, I don't know if you have read it. It's I heard that it's like 150 pages. And it comes out.
A magazine.
Do you have it?
I haven't. I'm looking into the Friday Pump, which they sent the newsletter, and I'm loving it. And I'm a big fan of printed magazines, so I guess I have to get it.
Yes, get off your foils. Listen to the next one, and see you in the next episode.
Thank you very much, Paul.
See you.
Yeah.